Hi there, everybody. This is Tracy, and I am here with Dr. Roberta Shaler, the relationship help doctor, and Anna Koss from Germany, who has a YouTube channel, and she is a life coach helping victims of narcissistic abuse survive. So welcome, ladies.
Hi, Tracy.
Today, we're going to talk about covert narcissists, and I think an important part of this is to maybe get started with what's the difference between a covert and overt. Roberta, would you want to start us off with that?
Sure. It's a really important distinction because one is so much more obvious than the other that you might not notice the less obvious one. So an overt narcissist is the kind of person that is grandiose and, you know, almost believes that they are the smartest person in every room, that they should be paid attention to, that what they need and what they want is the most important thing at any time, in any situation, with any group. And they're a little bit obvious in that way because you're kind of going, who do you think you are? But a covert narcissist, these are the ones who want the same degree of attention, but they go about it in a different way. And that different way is to, oh, nobody loves me. I've never had a moment of joy in my life. You are always on my case. This is terrible. Ain't it awful? And I'm going out to eat worms, you know? And so you get this covert situation, which is always grabbing the attention, always pulling the energy. And yet, it's also pulling at your heartstrings, where the overt narcissist is going to be like, oh, who do you think you are? The covert narcissist makes you feel like, aw. So we want to understand this very, very clear difference between them, because you will respond to them differently, and you may never think of the covert narcissist as being a narcissist.
Yeah. And in the traditional ways, that grandiose thing that people, I think more people kind of, when they hear the word narcissist, you know, they like to look in the mirror. They're so grandiose. They're so this and that. So when someone finds out that they've been abused by a covert narcissist, their brain is just so confused because that's not what I see on television. That's not what I, you know, my therapist told me that grandiose, that's not him or her. It's someone that is very sneaky, almost like a Trojan horse, if you would.
Yeah, it's a cross between a Trojan horse and a troll. Because they're there and they're always in the darkness and they're always pulling things down. And yet they pull at your heartstrings, as I said. You know, I'm thinking of a couple that I worked with, and, you know, I have clients all over the world, so I won't say where it was, but he had a very highly placed job. But every time I talked to them, they're a very successful couple. Every time I talked to him, it was, oh, she won't let me go anywhere. She doesn't like my friends. No matter what happens, we have people over, and it ends up that I end up being the one who doesn't do things right. And it was just all this heaviness, all this weight that was coming down about the poor me's. The very opposite of being the life of the party, the person at the front of the room, the one who's lifting the energy but drawing all the attention, so we don't think about them in that way. But they are as annoying, if not more annoying, because to be a good person, you think that, aw, you know, you poor thing.
And they're pulling the heartstrings of everyone. They're manipulating everyone around them.
That's so right.
Then the normal behaviors of a narcissist, you know, the charm. I think in the covert, an overt doesn't really have to put out as much charm. They really don't have to because they just command. Where a covert narcissist, that charm is what convinces you to trust them and listen to their sob story.
Well, it's charm that's kind of based in innocence, and that's why they, that act works so well. And it isn't an act that they consciously do. And whenever we're talking about narcissists, or in my terms, hijackals, whenever we're talking about them, let's always remember nobody gets up in the morning and decides to behave these ways. This is deep things that are in their upbringing that created this. This is how they know to be in the world. This is how they try to keep themselves safe in the world. And they learn this in their early life, usually before the age of 3 years old, actually. So let's just be clear about that. They don't get up in the morning trying to be annoying or pull the wool over our eyes or do whatever. However, when you're with a covert narcissist, you're constantly feeling like you should do something. When you're with an overt narcissist, you feel like you should be something different, right? So the overt one wants you to show up, you know, and so they can put you down. The covert one is more like, oh, you should take care of me. Mm. Right? So it's very, very different. And as I said earlier, it's less likely to be able to identify a covert narcissist quickly. Because you have, and for me, working with people, I have to really listen a lot longer to unearth a covert narcissist in some cases, because they have a good cover story that could come from a victim mentality, which it does, where an overt narcissist is just going to be rough and tumble, walking over people, clearly lacking in empathy. A covert narcissist really has a much better ability to mimic empathy.
Yeah. Some of my clients speak about covert narcissist, for example, as the always depressed and sick mother. They grow up as children with mothers where they have to take care of as children. Right. Did my mom take her pills? Is my mom all right with her clothes? Is she warm enough? Because she's always having a cold. Mother is always not simulating illnesses, but she is always weak and pretending in the outside world to be the very helpful and empathic person. And that is for children very hard.
Yes, it is. And you know, that speaks directly, Anna, to what I was saying about this covert nature, which is it's manipulation. And so they always need something from you. They need you to do something for them. They want to make you feel guilty and responsible, which is a switch from being with an overt narcissist who wants to make you feel less than and dumb and stupid and not worthwhile and not worthy of their time or attention. But the covert narcissist says, give me more, give me more, give me more, take care of me. You know, you're ignoring me. How could you? I'm your mother in your case, you know. And so children of covert narcissists have a different childhood because exactly as you said, they are called to be young adults, little adults, long before they should be, that they should be being taken care of, and yet they find themselves in a caretaker role and they're being played early on.
And so then that they take into their adult life where they were the caregiver. Now they want everyone to take care of them, right?
Well, maybe, or they'll mimic what they learned. I mean, there's two ways to go always in these situations. You know, if you're a child of a narcissist of any kind, covert or overt, the chances are that you are going to either become like that, or you're going to become a person that, you know, in my terms, I call these people hijackals. So you're either going to become a hijackal or you're going to become hijackal bait. You're going to attract those people into your life. So in either direction, you know, you're learning how to be, because our brains are not fully developed till we're 25. So you have a mom like that. What is your mom teaching you about the safety of the world, how the world works, whether you're important, whether your feelings matter? They're never going to validate you, because a narcissist is always about validating themselves. So all of this learning is going to be in there, and then you become an adult, and then you have to unpack and see what's going on there, which most narcissists won't ever.
And they demand all of the attention from the person that is involved with them. Generally, again, covertly manipulating holidays, manipulating special times, because on the surface it might look like you had a great birthday, but you like leave thinking, why am I crying if I had a birthday? Because they're slowly like making you feel bad. Or maybe I went to all this trouble for your party and you're not happy, you know, and that sort of passive aggressive attack when they're trying to, you know, make you feel bad.
Yes. Well, let's remember something important that you just said. All hijackers, all narcissists are passive aggressive. Not all passive aggressive people are narcissists. Okay. But I'll give you an example. On my wedding day, the people who were most important to me growing up, because my parents were both troubled with different kinds of personality disorder, these were very important people to me. But the woman was an enabler and the man was a passive aggressive narcissist. So on my wedding day, what was most important to my godmother was to come. What was most important to my godfather was to prove he had power over her. So he said in the morning of my wedding, I'm too ill to go. You'll have to stay home and look after me. Right? She did that because her primary relationship and enabling was taking care of him. So the thing that she had longed for her whole life, which is my wedding, I was the only child that she had anything to do with, he won. And there is an example of covert narcissism.
Well, I would like to share a wedding story too. My mother was a covert narcissist and always sick. But as I was supposed to be walking down the aisle, she staged a fainting spell. It wasn't really a faint. It was like, I think I might faint. Whole wedding had to be stopped. It gave her the attention. Right. And the rest of the day, instead of me being the bride that got the attention, was how's mom doing? How's mom doing?
Right.
It put the entire event into her realm where she got the attention because it wasn't good enough to be the mother of the bride. She wanted to stage this thing. And I look back at that and think of what a performance that really was.
So, you know, one thing you'll consistently hear, which we've already demonstrated in this brief conversation, is that one of the places this plays out is about physical health, right? Either it's their emotional health, like, oh, nobody loves me, or it's, I'm not well enough to do that. And these are very vulnerable areas, very easy to get someone to feel compassionate towards you. And so that manipulation can continue. And therefore, you can see why I said earlier, it takes longer to diagnose. Or, you know, whether or not I'm diagnosing what's going on with the person or I'm diagnosing what's going on with the relationship, it takes a little longer because is this real? How do I find out? Where's the medical history? You know, what has really happened here as opposed to what has been recounted, you know? So it takes a little longer. And this is the kind of thing that just makes you roll your eyes. Oh, not again. Like I'm sure at your wedding, Tracy, there was, there she goes again, right? Like it was almost predictable. You didn't think it would look like that, but something was going to happen, right? You knew before the day was out, something was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the way it goes. You know, everybody's walking on eggshells around a covert narcissist in the same way that they are trying to stay out of the way and walk on eggshells around an overt narcissist.
Right.
Roberta, I have a question.
Sure.
Would you say that the manipulation technique of ghosting and silent treatment is often used by the coverts as much as by the overts, or more even?
Well, I think the silent treatment is used equally by both because it's a power move. The covert narcissist says, well, I can't do it. My father was a covert narcissist. My father would say, oh, I can't stand all this commotion. You're making me sick. you know, whereas an overt narcissist will just say, you're not worth speaking to.
Understand.
Right? So there's a distinction there. But if I were to guess, and it would be a guess, Anna, I would say that the idea of using illness as a silent treatment, like I can't bear to be around that, is more useful to a covert narcissist.
And is it also like the coverts, are they sometimes also people who pretend to be the helpful or very mentally profound people, like preach or people who work in charity organizations? Isn't it sometimes also that kind of?
Oh yes, the poor me's. Look at me, I do everything for everyone else and I don't need anything. And then what do? They show up as manipulative. Yes, absolutely. And they love that, because remember, anytime we're dealing with someone in the cluster B personality disorder realm, and let's all know that most of us are never going to find these people diagnosed, because they don't go anywhere to be diagnosed. So we're talking about the behaviors and traits and cycles that they have without being able to diagnose them. But let's always remember that these people are out to get their needs met above everybody else. They are not interested in reciprocity. They're not interested in equality or mutuality. Now, in many of the books that I've written, I talk about those three things as being hallmarks of any healthy relationship, whether that's parent-child or boss and employee or partners. We need to have equality, reciprocity, and mutuality. You will never have those three things with any person with any kind of personality disorder. So the whole idea is to keep it off balance in their favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, as Anna brought the question to be the I want to call the masks of the covert, the way they hide it is to wear the mask of the church-going person, to wear the mask of the therapist or psychiatrist. So many times, how could you possibly believe that? I'm a doctor. You know, I mean, it's a really good mask to hide this sort of behavior. They come off and they build trust by their authority, by that being the best soccer coach or the best neighbor that shovels people's driveway. That makes everyone believe they're a wonderful person. So any narcissist uses masks. Covert ones are using the mask to create a false persona, because behind closed doors, they're, you know, a rip-roaring idiot. So they change, right? I mean, and nobody sees that. It's all about the front face, which is that profession of authority, and it gives them credit in many cases.
Right. Well, one of the most difficult things, I've been through this. Both my parents had personality disorders, and I'm an only child. So, you know, I got it. Tracy, you went through it. You had your mom. Anna, I don't know what happened for you.
I went through it.
Yeah. So, you know, we've had these experiences. And in recognizing that they are going to take our attention, That is the most important thing, is to grab the attention, suck all the air out of the room, take everything toward them. So things that they are attracted towards are things that will allow them to paint a public picture of perfection while at home creating a private place of pain. And so that's what happens when you go and you want to maybe see a counselor. Like in my case, my mother was a fundraiser for hospice.
Ooh.
Oh, right. And so you go and you say, well, you know, my mother behaves this way. Oh, no, she'd never do that. Yes, she would. Because this is where the problem occurs, especially if you're in a small town, which is why I work with people all over the world through video. Because if you're in a small town and somebody knows the person you're describing, they won't find it easy to believe what you're telling them about it. And so you need someone who doesn't live there and to know, but they will create this public picture of perfection. They'll look this way at work or at church or whatever, and then at home it is all of this manipulation and devious behavior and demanding and that's going on, and there is this private place of pain that they create. So it's very important you're not crazy if you go out and say, you know, this is what happens in my house, and everybody says, oh, that would never happen. Or you go to marriage counseling and you say, well, this is what happens. What's, you know, I just before I got on the call, someone wrote to me and said, I'm going to my first marriage counseling tonight. Do you mind if I ask you a question? She gave me a list of all the things that her overt narcissistic partner does. And she said, this is why we're going to counseling. What do you think will happen? I said, who chose the therapist? And do you know if this therapist is well experienced in dealing with people with personality disorders? Or is it just part of what they think they know? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I don't know. I said, well, this is very important, because a narcissist is going to walk into the therapist for one reason only, and that is to demonstrate that they can manipulate, seduce, and exploit the therapist into believing their story, and then the two of them will re-wound the partner. So it's very important for everyone to know you must work with someone who understands this. You must talk with people who understand this, preferably people who have not only learned about it, but have lived it and recovered, because then they will understand what you're going through. They will use language that you will feel like, oh, someone gets me.
Now, on the marriage counseling together, should that person go and seek help by themselves before they bring in the narcissistic partner? Should they get stronger before they actually are face to face with a counselor?
Well, it would be wonderful if they did that, but it's highly unlikely. The way the progress usually goes is we need help. And so they go off. I have had clients who have been to 5 or 6 therapists and been rewounded before we were together. And they told me these stories. And it's natural. If you don't understand this and work with it every day, it's almost unbelievable. Even when you go to your friends, they don't believe you. So it's almost unbelievable to think about the depths that these people will go to manipulate you and create power in their lives. So this is why it becomes essential for you to, when you're into a marriage and you want it to get better, if you can possibly do what Tracy suggested, get some help for yourself, strengthen yourself, do your own work, clarify what's going on within yourself, be validated for the fact that it's going on, and then you may proceed with some counseling with your partner. But that almost never happens, because you're hooked on hope that you will go to a counselor together. The counselor will see what's really going on, and then finally you'll get some help.
Roberta, Tracy, how would you describe in this case what you just talked about, the big and really eclatant difference between the behavior of a covert and an overt narc, because both are behaving completely different behind closed doors than they present themselves in the outside world. What is the difference? How could you explain that more profound to my followers in Germany? Because just to let you know, in Germany, we have not even one book about covert narcissism. The people are asking me all day long, where is the book? Where's coming the book out in German? The really good worked out differences between covert and overt narcissism is so important for my German viewers. Could you explain the difference, please, once again, in concerning that behind closed door behavior?
Sure. You want to talk, Tracy, or shall I?
You go ahead.
All right. Well, behind closed doors, what's going to happen is that an overt narcissist is going to be the person who tells you that you're worthless, dismisses you, belittles you, demeans you, degrades you, wears you down, puts you down, tears you down, and dismisses you. So they are going to have that quality of keeping you under their foot and have you longing to be loved, and they are going to withhold the love from you.
And even physical abuse, yes.
Physical, emotional, verbal, sexual abuse.
Financial.
Okay. Yes, financial abuse, spiritual abuse. And just a little word about what we were saying about how they look out in the world. I've had so many people that we've had who are being spiritually abused, because if you have a book that can prove that a narcissist is right and you're wrong, and then you go to a group that all believe that that book is right and the ultimate authority, then the narcissist has an easier job of putting you down and making you wrong. Right? So these are very, very important things. So that will happen. And if you need a little more information about this, just go to the internet and have a look, just to inform you about the big picture. Put in, what are the careers that psychopaths, for instance, or narcissists, or whatever you're thinking of, what do they gravitate towards? And you'll find that even the clergy and surgeons and attorneys are in there. Anywhere that you are going to have ultimate power over someone. So that happens. So at home, these people are going to want to just keep you under their thumb, make you wrong, keep you small, and discount you. But a covert narcissist at home is going to be all about, I need you to take care of me. How could you possibly not be interested? I'm in such pain over here. And so it's always playing on the emotion, playing on the, again, that you're not good enough, but that you somehow will be good enough if you take care of them enough. That they will finally find you worthy if you give in to them enough, that you give up enough for them. You see how clearly that distinction is? That one is just do what I tell you and I'll tell you whether you're good enough. The other one is, oh, if only you do enough for me, then you will somehow earn your wings, right? And that I am so important. So one is playing on your heartstrings, the other stomping on your heartstrings.
Oh, that's a good wording. Would you say that the covert narcissism is a little bit more female?
No, I wouldn't. I can understand where the question comes from, Anna, because it would seem that that might be in the same way that it might seem that women would be more passive-aggressive than men. But the actual fact is, and I got a lot of flack for this on YouTube, but the actual fact is more men are passive-aggressive. So, no, I don't think so. I think it's just that we have some sort of things that we think of in terms of male and female, but I don't think it plays out that way in reality.
And I have something to just throw into this mix. You know, when someone is with a overt versus covert, when you're with an overt, there, you know, it's clear there's something going on here. It's not unknown, you know, and that's one of the things that the survivors are, you know, so dumbfounded by, that they just didn't know. They didn't understand this because they weren't in the face of all of that all the time. A covert is sitting there and secretly doing this and slowly, and then reinforcing good things and reinforcing and kind of tricking you into, oh, wait, that's a little bit of niceness. Oh, again, if I take care of them, he'll be calm and happy. And oh, that's all I have to do to keep the peace. Well, that's walking on eggshells, right? And so the difference is that the victim of the covert is like that old analogy of being a frog in boiling water. You know, if you put a frog into boiling water, he's going to know it right away. That's the overt. But if you are just simmering slowly, 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 you're taking more of the abuse. You're taking more of their behaviors and a lot of times putting them on yourself because you want to make it better for them. So it's that analogy that, you know, overt is right in your face. You dropped in the boiling water. You kind of saw it earlier than later. The covert victims are the ones that are just like, they saw it, but it became, oh, that's just their personality, or they just need me more than other people. They make excuses. And so I think that's a good way to look at it too, right?
Yeah, and you know, that really made me go back to the idea of the troll, because basically an overt narcissist walks over the bridge and a covert narcissist lurks under it, right? So the overt narcissist is just going to stomp right across and nothing in my way, and I'm going to take charge. And the covert narcissist crawling under the bridge saying, let's see if I can pull a few strings here. Maybe I can take out a floorboard. Oh, that's too bad.
You fell?
Yeah. So maybe that kind of a mental picture will help people understand that these are tugging at your heartstrings. These ones are walking over you, right?
Concerning the poor me attitude, is there, in your experience, some comorbidity between borderline personality disorder and the COVID narcissism?
Yeah, sure. Yes, we're going to have these behaviors from people that can be borderline, can be narcissistic, can be sociopathic, psychopathic, histrionic, any kind of antisocial thing that you might want to talk about. But yes, they do sift and sort out in covert, overt ways in a little more of a pattern. And you're exactly right. And a covert borderline who's just like, oh, don't hurt me, you know, don't be in my face, I'll crumble and you won't like that, is very different than the borderline who is in the I'm going to throw a tantrum phase. So you can have that going back and forth with the borderline. You'll get that unexpected result that you cannot predict. You can predict there will be a result, but you can't predict which side it's going to go to. Whereas with a covert narcissist, you can pretty well predict that it is going to be always this undermining, the underbelly, you know, the troll under the bridge. And the overt narcissist is going to be this stomping giant on the top and having it their way and clear out because I'm here.
I love that analogy. I am going to totally, I'm going to go get a little rubber troll and I'm going to use it when I talk to people. I think it will really help. Do you have any more questions, Anna, that Germany might want to know?
Yeah, I just did a video about the borderline personality disorder, and that's why I asked this in combination with the covert narcissism. Some of my viewers asked if the borderline personality disorder can come along without any kind of narcissism.
Yes.
And I said yes, but usually there is a kind of range or a scala, and there is also narcissism in the field, but maybe not so much sometimes, depending on the type of borderline.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I would certainly caution, you know, that these questions come up and we can answer them generally, but I just want to throw this caution in for everyone listening that we really need to know the exact circumstances. These broad brushstrokes are all that we can offer you. But there are very, very specific ways and specific relationships and specific upbringings that this comes to fruition. So very important to know. And yes, a borderline can be certainly without a great deal of narcissism, but if they are going to be narcissistic, they are likely to play a lot on the covert narcissist side. Yes. Yeah, more likely than the other. They will be histrionic, meaning they're going to throw a hissy fit, you know, to get attention. But that's not coming from overt narcissism in most cases.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm fine for now.
Great. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for being here and talking about the covert narcissist, because everybody really has an interest in learning this. And I'm glad that we have Roberta's expertise here, because she has written how many books?
16.
16 books. And, you know, those should be translated in German. We got that help right there.
Well, we can certainly do that at any time, you know, to give your people something. I mean, they might really enjoy just having my free ebook, How to Spot a Hijackal, translated into German. We could get that done very quickly, because that's the piece that we need to know is, oh, really? That's what it is? Finally, you have that moment to say, it's not me. I'm not crazy. There really is a thing happening here. And that's where you finally begin to see a glimpse of getting your sanity back.
Right. Because it gets a name. It gets,
that's
you're not
right.
in the air anymore.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we can certainly get that done for your people quickly.
We can connect about that, and I think when my followers are listening now, they will be so glad, because you can't imagine how much need there is in Germany to learn about the covert narcissism. It's really important.
Well, it is really important for us all to know these things, because the more information that we have, the more we can realize what's mine and what's theirs. And we always need to be able to make that separation in any case. Okay, this is me doing something. This is someone else doing something, and I am responding to it. I'm in charge of my response to it. That's as far as it goes. I can't change them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where that separation needs to occur, because in order to get a sense of safety, and in order to stop second guessing yourself and save your sanity, you need that level of clarity.
Yeah. So thank you, ladies. That was perfect. And I cannot thank you all enough for being here. This is going to help a lot of people. And Anna and I are going to be doing videos like this together to kind of bring the U.S. and Germany. We're on this schedule now. We've got our next one lined up for next month. So everyone stay tuned, because we are not going to keep quiet. We're going to keep educating people, and we're all really in it because we are survivors, and we've got the stories, and we've got the help that can get people to the next level.
Thank you very much, ladies. Thank you, Roberta.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to meet you. Talk soon.
Same team.